It's late afternoon. At the end of the week, I'm sat in my shed. I've just been compiling a workshop. I can hear the sound of a petrol mower in the distance and not a lot else, which is nice. It means I've been able to concentrate on honing some new slides for the keynote. In particular, a new slide on interview techniques with a focus on audio. I love interviewing with audio because long interviews can be, if you are so inclined to be bothered, edited down to shorter interviews. And the more I think about the kind of do's and don'ts and the tips around interviewing, I realise quite clearly how I pay absolutely no attention to any of it. And as a result, a lot of my interviews are a bit haphazard, hit and miss. What really helps is not listening back to them after I've captured the conversation. And that's how I see my interview technique, just the capturing of a conversation. I tend to forget it even exists. I know a lot of people, when they've done an audio boo, will then drop it on their blog and they'll add a photo to the top of the blog and they will write around that audio. And maybe if I did that, I would blog more. That would be good, wouldn't it? But no, it's a case of I've got it now. It's archived. It's backed up to the cloud, and who knows? I may be able to use this in the future. But it's about being on that journey of discovery, about potentially sharing the conversation to the social web in close to real time, but also archiving and learning. And I'm in a fortunate position, I guess, because I haven't been asked by some tetchy news editor to go out and find out as much as you can about this individual, probe deep. It's more about picking people I'm interested or inspired by, capturing that conversation and then sharing it to our mutual networks, which is a nice way of working. So thinking about the types of interview that you can do and going back to what it was like when I was a news photographer for the newspapers, and I like to get a little bit more information for my picture captions or find out what kind of photo is needed by speaking to the subject, I came to the conclusion there's two main types of interview. The profile, which is kind of an in-depth look at the subject and their life, and then your news interview, which is a gathering of information around an event, an idea, or something that's happened. In both cases, I think that there are steps you can follow to make that interview, or should I say, to open up the possibility of that interview going well, which again, I don't do. I'm really bad at this. Step one really should be researching and preparing. And when it has come to interviews falling a little bit flat because the person is giving me yes or no answers because I probably didn't lead the question in with a little bit more relevance to grab their attention, most of the time, I've managed to pull it off because I'm genuinely curious as to what makes that person tick or why they do what they do. And that really helps, that curiosity and the look of interest. Like, tell me more about what you do. Wow, that's such a broad question, but hopefully it should take us off on the initial path which will result in that journey. If you research and prepare, it's going to be a lot easier for you to go up to a complete stranger that you're not necessarily that interested in and find something that you can get a foothold in. But that's only if interviewing is your job. For me, it's a part of what I do. And being genuinely very curious about the world around me, I think, really helps. Let's think about step two. Establish a rapport. For me, the ability to make that person feel at ease, because I'm genuinely curious, for example, it means that there's not going to be somebody standing in a video frozen spotlight of fear or aware that the microphone is there capturing their every breath. So getting that rapport, getting the person to relax, might not happen until halfway through a 3, 4, 5, 10 minute interview. But when it does, that for me is where the real value occurs. Quite often, because I know it won't necessarily occur at the beginning of clicking record, I will, in fact, have a conversation beforehand and put the person at ease and say, look, we're just going to capture a conversation here. Let's keep it casual. I don't edit this. And I think by saying all of that, the person thinks, oh, this sounds really easy. And coming, you know, if I come in saying, oh, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I hope this thing works. And I've got these questions written down. I hope they don't scare you too much. You're sowing so much doubt in the mind of the person that, A, you know what you're doing, and B, this is going to not sound stupid or sound stupid. You're not going to make your rapport there. So establishing the rapport should come through making the person feel confident in your ability, but also comfortable being around you. So we've got research and prepare, establish a rapport. What should come next? Maybe if I really was thinking about what I should be doing, I'd pose relevant questions that trigger a conversation. And they'd most likely be open-ended questions. I think I do this naturally. Listening back to a few of the recordings that I've done, I'd like to get the how, why and what out of the individual rather than the it's good, isn't it, that so-and-so did so-and-so?
Yes.
Which is just going to be this dead end of a conversation. So open-ended questions are key. And if they are relevant, as in you've begun the journey by extracting loads of information that gives you the background you need to continue, or you have in fact been that professional who's done the research and preparation, then your questions are going to be relevant. For me, I never have anything written down. I think once or twice in my life, I think that was mainly for doing a Skype interview with someone who was too important to be in the same room as me. And I thought, well, I better look at their Wikipedia page. And it did help. But most of the time I bump into people and I don't have time to go away and Google them before. I just think, wow, I do not want to miss any possible stories we can capture right now through a conversation. Let's do it. So we've got researching and preparing, establishing a rapport, posing relevant questions that are going to trigger a more in-depth conversation, and finally, listen. Listen, 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 listen. And listen with your eyes as well as your ears, so you're watching the person's body language. Do they feel uncomfortable? Why do they feel uncomfortable? Do you need to change your line of questioning? Or they're uncomfortable because you're on exactly the right kind of questioning? So for me, that listening and watching, like all good storytellers will, story extractors, story reporters, I feel do the same by adjusting and responding relative to what you hear the person saying, but also what you see them doing as an individual. So, that all said, just be prepared to drop all preparation and go with the flow. I do think that if you are relaxed and you are having a conversation like I hope you can do casually and easily, as you probably do every day, then you will be capturing relevant information, providing that curiosity is intact and you can take the person on the journey, not just the person that's in front of you, but also the many people that are hopefully listening to the interview you are capturing. Get out there, capture some stories, and then share them with the world.